Now, for those of you who are going to take notes tonight, I'm going to warn you, this isn't a typical expositional sermon at one text. I'm going to be using a variety of texts, so loosen up your fingers and get ready to write as I'll be taking you to different passages this evening. This is more of a topical sermon as we look into this subject. I'd like to begin by asking you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll take a brief look at verse 25. Here we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that Paul is talking about that we're all one body in Christ, but there's many members. We each have different gifts, but we're one body. And he's teaching us, and he uses the analogy, I should say, of the human body as an analogy for the unity of the church. And he shares with us here the importance about caring for one another. 1 Corinthians 12:25. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same, what? Care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. This is kind of an umbrella verse for us this evening as we think about this topic of caring for one another, that Paul's saying we should be united in the body of Christ to look out for one another. So keep that passage in mind. A number of years ago, there was a contest held in Southern California, and a professor was part of the group asked to judge young people to see who was the most caring child. The winner was a 4-year-old boy whose next-door neighbor was an elderly gentleman who had recently lost his wife. Upon seeing the man cry, the little boy went into the elderly gentleman's yard, climbed onto his lap, and sat there. When his mother asked him what he had said to the neighbor, the little boy said, "Nothing. I just helped him cry." That little boy's actions is the essence of what it means to care for one another. He was just helping this older man cry over the loss of his wife. He cared, and he was sharing his love for him. Now, one of the many things that warms my heart as serving as pastor here at Calvary is to hear reports from others of how caring our congregation is toward not only our members of the church, but also loving concern for others who are not part of our congregation. I've heard many fine testimonies from people as I visit folks in the hospital, both our own members and also those outside of our church, of how it impacts even medical staffs to see how much Calvary folks come and visit and care for the folks here, our members of our church. Made me think of Edna Wilson. Many of you remember her. She passed away just a few years ago. And in her last days, in an assisted care facility, she still spent time praying for people. In fact, I remember visiting her before she passed, and her daughters testified, "Pastor Pyle, there are even non-Christians who line up in their wheelchairs down the hallway, want to come and pray with this woman from Calvary Church because she cares for them." And I thought, what a great testimony. And she served the Lord until her last breath, until God called her home and took her to heaven. I thought, what a great example. And tonight, my desire is to simply encourage us, all of us, to excel still more, as Paul said to the Thessalonians, in this area of providing care for others. I also want to give you some practical ways to enhance your ministry in this area. But first, I want to remind us from Scripture of how God cares for us. As we just sang, by his own sovereign hands, his care for us, and then also through church leadership, the shepherding ministry of our pastors and elders. So point number one tonight, I just want to remind us about the primacy of God's care for us. You remember the story of Joseph, and at the end of Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, when he was with his brothers, he said, "Hey, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for what? For good, to preserve many people alive." We see at the end of his life there that he was sent to Egypt to preserve the Israelites, many alive. He goes on to say in verses 24 and 25, Joseph said to his brothers, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Version here, Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will assuredly take care of you, the ESV says, or visit you, and bring you up from this land to the land which he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will assuredly take care of you, and you shall carry my bones up from here. So there we see an example of God's care for the nation of Israel early on there in their history. Job chapter 10, verse 12. Job says, you have granted me life and steadfast love, and your care has preserved my spirit. Turn with me to Ezekiel in the Old Testament. Go back to the book of Ezekiel. Let me give you an example there. Ezekiel chapter 34, concerning God's care for us. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16. Here we see God's providential care again to the Israelites. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out as a shepherd seeks or cares out his flock, seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So I will seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on the rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Here we see Ezekiel showing us a clear contrast between God's providential care versus the self-indulgent false kings and priests and prophets who fleece the flock of Israel for their own personal gain. So we see quite a contrast here. God will always meet our needs, always. And this passage is reminiscent of Psalm 23, David's great shepherding psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God takes care of us. He takes care of his people. How about a couple New Testament examples for you? There are many. Let me just give you a couple. John chapter 10, verse 11. Here the Lord Jesus is speaking in verses 14 and 15 as well. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his, what? His life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, verse 14, and I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And as we sang, Jesus Christ cares for us. He gave his life for us, didn't he? He cares. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, another example of God's care. He writes, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So the first point, I just wanted to remind us about God's care for us. There are many other passages that we could have looked at, and again, you could preach on that subject alone. But I just wanted to remind us, first of all, of God's care for us. Secondly, the priority of shepherds' care for us, our pastors and our elders, the priority of the shepherds' care for us. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds were there for pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. True pastors and elders in churches seek spiritual edification of their members by nurturing and developing them for the work of the ministry. That's part of our responsibility, to equip you for the work of the ministry. Why? Because we care. We want to build up the flock to reach out to the world with the gospel. Another example of care is found in 1 Thessalonians 2, 5 through 8. So flip over there for a moment. It's a beautiful passage by the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. He says there, "For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves." Why? Because you had become what? Very dear to us. What a beautiful picture there of a nursing mother's care for her own children to illustrate his own loving care and affection for the Thessalonians. It's a beautiful picture for us as well. Point being, true leaders care about their flock. One more, another example of exhortation for leaders to care for the flock of God is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2. There Peter writes, "So I exhort the elders among you as fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." Examples. Hopefully, as shepherds here at Calvary, that we make it easy for you to follow the Lord in the sense of setting a good example for you, because our heart's desire is to shepherd you eagerly and willingly. So there's another example of leadership making it a priority to care for God's flock by feeding them, teaching them, counseling them, leading them by example, and caring for them willingly as the Lord Jesus cares for us. So those are my first two points. Third point here, a little more detail here, the priority of caring for one another. The priority of caring for one another. I mentioned 1 Corinthians 12, 25, where Paul says we should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all should suffer with that person. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Let me give you a few more examples from the New Testament. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus reminds us, Matthew 5, 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive," what? Mercy. Mercy toward others gives credence of having God's mercy ourselves. If we extend mercy to others, it's a wonderful sign of care. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets," often called the golden rule. Luke 6, 36, Jesus said, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." John 15, 12 and 13, Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you" what? "Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." That's true care, isn't it? Are we willing to lay down our life even for our friends? Galatians 6:2, Paul says, bear one another's what? Burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If we truly care about people, again, we'll bear their burdens as well. A beautiful sign of caring. Then one of our themes this year that Pastor Monroe has given us is to love one another. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, that we've been studying this epistle together on Sunday mornings. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Turn with me to Luke. Let's see a good example here of someone showing care. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, 25. Here's the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's a good example of caring for someone else. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put Christ to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by a chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had what? Compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. What a great example of caring for someone else that he didn't even know. Take care of him, and whatever you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Again, a great example of caring for someone, as we should. Now, with those verses in mind, I want to ask you a question here. Ask yourself this question. How can I be more effective in caring for other people? How can I do that? Let me give you 6 spiritual truths to practice to be more effective in caring for each other. First of all, pray. Pray. Ephesians 6:10. Paul says that we are to pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, to pray for each other, and to pray for God's help. Before you reach out to somebody, spend time in prayer, asking God to guide you. Pray for wisdom. Pray for that person's well-being. Take it to the Lord in prayer as we sing. I know over the years that in counseling many people, as Jim mentioned, in my ministry over the years, that sometimes when a session doesn't go so well, it's not the other person's fault. Sometimes I'm not prayed up. Sometimes I've gone into a counseling situation more or less not prayed up, and sometimes there I haven't done a good job of counseling. So pray, pray, pray as we reach out to other people and care for them. Spend time in prayer, as Paul exhorts us there in Ephesians 6:10. Secondly, trust God in every circumstance. As you seek to care for others, trust the Lord in every circumstance that you're involved with. Sometimes helping to disciple or counseling other people is really challenging. Because of sin, there's a lot of difficult situations out there. But we have to trust God in every circumstance that He allows you to care for others. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Very present help. Proverbs 3:5-6 reminds us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge Him, and He will make our path straight as we help to care for others, to help them make their path straight. Trust God in every circumstance. Divine interruptions will happen to all of us. You may have your days or weeks planned out, as I often do, plan things out for the week as a pastor, but God brings divine interruptions to us on a daily basis. So we have to trust Him as we seek to care for others and to be used accordingly on that day of what He may have for us. Number three, walk in humility. Walk in humility. You want to be better at caring for other people? Be humble. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Paul reminds us there, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. May I submit to you that humility needs to precede our counsel to someone in order to be more effective in caring for them. We need to humbly confess each day how much we need the Lord's help ourselves so that we can help others. And that will help us to be more effective in our discipleship ministries. And one way to put this humility to the test is to actually request others to pray for us. And I appreciate that as a pastor, how you come and say, Pastor Pyle, how can I pray for you this week? Our pastoral staff appreciates that. All of us. Humility. And this attracts others to trust in God's control. If we have confidence in His love and sovereign plans to walk humbly, it also brings an openness that comes not in having to legalistically follow the Lord, but to rest in Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3 reminds us, for we who have believed enter that rest in Jesus Christ. So walking in humility will contribute greatly to our culture at Calvary that is less self-protective and more unified with each other. Can you imagine a group of believers who entrust themselves to each other whereby you can speak openly about your struggles and your joys and someone shares in them with you the loving compassion and care that we have for each other? Think about that. So walk in humility. Number four, move toward others. Move toward others. God takes the initiative and moves toward us. We should take the initiative to move toward others with caring hearts. This is a simple thought, but can have an amazing impact on someone to show them how much you care. Luke 15:4 says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? Other examples in Scripture, Hosea pursued his wayward wife. Jesus took a rural route through Samaria to come to one outcast Samaritan woman to offer her living water. We need to move toward people. If you see somebody in trouble, move toward them. Care for them. Go after them. Talk to them. Under this point, Christ takes that initiative toward us to go after that lost sheep. So should we. And under that point, may I submit to you, that means that we have to be good listeners to hear what's going on in that person's life before we offer counsel. To listen carefully, keeping in mind that each person's experience is unique. So invite the person who you're talking with to share his or her thoughts and concerns rather than presuming that you know what the issues are for that person. Listen to their story carefully. Proverbs warns us not to give an answer before we hear because it can be folly and shame to us. So we have to listen carefully. That's the sign of a good, caring person. One young lady who lost her mother said to me, "People think that I don't want to talk about it, but I do." Oftentimes people have lost a loved one, to ask them, "How's it going? How are you doing?" And then to listen carefully, to show care for them. Move toward those people, to care for them. Number five, genuinely care for people. Genuinely care. I mentioned 1 Thessalonians 2:8 earlier. "So being affectionately desirous of you," Paul says, "we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." So that begs some questions. Are you approachable? Can people feel comfortable with you? Do they sense a genuine care for them? Do others perceive you as a caring Christian who will listen intently because they are dear to you? Do people perceive that your door is open to come and ask questions? And then when we do minister to somebody, to ask them, "What may I do for you? How can I help you?" To ask those type of questions. Be specific. To reach out with a meal or to help them with a chore, to shop for them or to babysit or going for a walk or paying a bill, to help in very tangible ways. So genuinely care for people. Number six, follow up. Don't give up. Follow up with folks. Don't give up. Hardships are unique. No two forms of suffering are the same. Hardships, whether they are spiritual or physical trials, are common to us all. They are painful and can leave us feeling alone and vulnerable. As I speak to cancer patients over the years, try to follow up with them in my conversations with them. How are you doing, even years after? How's it going with your cancer treatments, or even if they've been cleared of cancer? How are you doing? People appreciate that, the follow-up, to talk about it, to talk about their trials. Proverbs 15:23 says, "To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is." That we can give an apt answer depending on the situation. That shows true care for somebody. So follow up with people. Don't just forget about them. Well, you and I can have a profound impact on people in and around Calvary by caring for each other through life's challenges. When you think about it, our Christianity doesn't get any more basic than that. To show mercy, compassion, love, to show care for others, and even to the point of being willing to lay our life down for someone. That's true Christ-like care. Listen to this young lady's testimony who lost her father recently. "I remember how panicked and shocked I was when I heard that my dad had a severe stroke and was in an operating room. Over the past couple of years, I visited Korea numerous times until he passed away into God's eternal grace. I want to give a special thanks to the Breans Adult Life Group for loving and praying for my family, especially when I was gone. Especially heartfelt cards from the body of Christ touched my soul and comforted me. I truly felt Jesus' love upon us throughout the years. I am truly blessed to be a part of this family." It's a nice testimony, isn't it? We're a family. We're the body of Christ. As Paul said, one body, many members. We each have different gifts, but we should care for each other. And I hope some of these practical tips tonight will be helpful to you. So let's make caring for one another a priority in the life of Calvary Church. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for these reminders and truths from your holy word. Help us as the body of Christ here at Calvary to be known that we deeply care for one another, that we love each other deeply, that we reach out and pray for one another and comfort one another and practice the one another's of the New Testament So thank you for these reminders tonight from your word. May we not now just be hearers of the word, but actually doers. May we even tonight think of somebody that we can care for, even this week, to reach out to someone and touch their life with the love of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.